This is a previously recorded episode.
This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
It says yes.
I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Computer says no.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hi, I'm Billy Strutter, and you're listening to The Scoop. This is episode 10, and I am joined by the fabulous Kate.
Why, hello.
Kate, it is another Monday, and another Monday without a guest. Just the two of us.
Well, lucky we are here.
Well, there's so many things to talk about. It's a crazy busy week. We've got a ton going on. I don't know if I ever – I don't even think I announced this. So I was asked to be the director of social media for TEDx Detroit.
Awesome.
Yeah. So super excited about that. That's happening on Thursday, October 6th, and doors open at 8 a.m. And it's going to be a pretty cool lineup. A lot of things going on. They're doing labs, which is going to be over at Comerica Park. There are going to be some food trucks. So there's going to be a food truck rally. And we're going to be doing some really cool things on social media. So we're going to have Snapchat going on behind the scenes. Then there will be someone that'll be posting Twitter stuff as they do at events and using the TEDx Detroit hashtag. Then we're going to do some Facebook Live, followed by some Instagram stories. And that's the gist of it. But we've got a team of nine managing social media to get that done. And it's kind of amazing how things have gone from, you know, where you know, traditionally maybe you'd have one or two people running an event like that, and now we have nine. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of work, but certainly a lot of fun. Excited to see TEDx Detroit back.
I was going to say you're probably going to get some really great experiences out of that. TED has a lot of great stuff that comes through.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, people watch a lot of, TED Talks, and it's a great opportunity for them to see it live. But with local shakers and doers and makers, and it's always a nice mix of speakers. So for those of you who have not picked up a ticket, you can go to TEDxDetroit.com to snag one. There's still quite a few left, and we're going to be at the Fox, which I was there earlier today, and it's just such a beautiful facility. And the idea that you get to we were actually backstage today, and to see all of the performers who have signed the wall and all the different posters and, you know, just the majesty of that venue. It's just a great spot to hold an event. Let's talk a little bit about social media, unless you want to talk about the Lions. Or should lie downs, Lions?
There's nothing good to say about the
There's
Lions.
Nothing good to say about the Lions. Although, I mean, that's almost a Honolulu Blue.
On the bright side, preseason for hockey started.
And how did they do?
So far, I think we're in pretty good shape. But then again, preseason, I feel, is not very good for predicting much of anything.
This is true.
I like to keep my mouth shut in my opinions to myself until the actual season starts off.
Let's wait until the season starts and see where they go from there. Well, I have some news about Instagram. Instagram just rolled out a save draft feature, which is pretty cool. I mean, you know, when you're using Instagram before, you would take a picture, but then somehow you'd hit the back button and it was gone. And it's like out of the 300 pictures that you took of your outfit, it has just disappeared. So now there's a save draft feature that you can use, so that way you can save some your drafts in your library. And then you can come back to it later, or you have the ability to discard it if you need to.
I honestly think that is a fantastic feature, because it's happened, like, say you get something, you're ready to upload it, and you don't have time to finish it, or something happened.
So many filters.
It's just gone. Well, it's not even the filters. It's, you know, it's just, I think it'll be very convenient, the fact that you have the option now to start something and then you can finish it later. I personally think that is a good idea.
Yeah, you know, I haven't used Instagram as much as I used to. I've been using Snapchat a lot more, just because it's, you know, you want to take a snap of something and then you're like, that's cool, and then it's just gone. Or, but, you know, I imagine Instagram stories, I should probably give that a try. I know my team uses it quite a bit.
It's supposed to be kind of like Snapchat.
Yeah. Have you tried it?
I did download it. I played around with it for a few minutes, but I haven't actually put it to use. I was just kind of checking it out, and I'm like, this is the same thing as Snapchat.
Right, yeah.
So I came to that conclusion, and I know the option's there. Maybe I'll give it a try out, but right now, not a lot of people are really utilizing it yet, so, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to get ahead of the game, now's the time to go ahead.
Now's the time to do it. Be an early adopter. Yeah. Well, we had talked last week about Twitter and how they had lifted the 140 character count. And so their official announcement was that photos, videos, GIFs, polls, and quote tweets no longer count toward your 140 characters and tweets. But it does note in its developer documentation that attachments are still limited up to 4 photos or 1 GIF, video, poll, quote, tweet, or DM, deep link per tweet, which is once again, when I read these things, it's a mouthful. But certainly that has made things a lot different on Twitter. And I know internally, like, our team has been thrilled, because it gives them a lot more freedom and flexibility on the things that they tweet. And you had mentioned last week that you were back at it on Twitter, but you weren't enjoying the experience. Has that changed?
I'm still not enjoying the experience.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's something that I'm just going to have to get into slowly. One thing I do know for sure is I prefer posting straight from. I don't like sharing posts to there, because it links everything. It's right. Like, oh, here's the link. So I find it a harder platform to use than, say, using like Facebook or Instagram, because then everything's right there visible for you to see. If you want to use Twitter, you're constantly clicking links to see exactly what they're talking about, to view any images. It's, to me, I find that inconvenient and almost unnecessarily time consuming. I feel like it takes a little more time to navigate through Twitter, and I still do not appreciate the back and forth randomness of the conversations that occur. That part I do not enjoy. I have been trying to use a little more recently. I'm still not very good at it, but
never quit quitting, Kate. It's, you know, Twitter is one of those things that I think it's an acquired taste for sure.
I'm still trying to give it its fair game. I honestly do not use it that much, but
recently, there was, moving on from Twitter to Facebook for a moment, there was a little bit of, I don't know if I would call it drama, but it related to how Facebook was, how they were saying that people were actually watching videos. So they weren't counting anyone who had watched a video for 3 seconds or less. That wasn't going towards the video count. And there were a bunch of agencies that weren't happy with how Facebook had been underreporting, and apparently this had been going on for a couple of years. And so there's a call for a third party to start managing verification, or verifying that someone actually clicked the link or interacted with an ad, engaged with an ad, or watched a video. And that's even more important as more and more companies are moving towards doing digital advertising. And in fact, Facebook just rolled out a dynamic ad specifically for brick and mortar retailers. And so the idea is that this product from Facebook is to help local brick and mortar stores to promote their in-store products and to be able to drive people in store, versus, you know, where the trend has typically been to drive people to purchase online. So this is an interesting product, and it'll be interesting to see how they help with measurement, which actually takes us to the next thing, is that they did expand their measurement tools for retailers. So the idea is that they want to help retailers understand which campaigns are performing the best, which ones are driving the most product sales in store and online. And so really the goal for Facebook is to be able to sell more advertising. But the more that you can help someone measure, the more likely they are to come back and use the product. But that's one of the things that I think digital marketers struggle with in many ways, is just trying to figure out, did what we do actually convert someone into a sale, especially when they're coming in store or they're placing a phone call. But, you know, we had talked previously before Kate about the idea that you don't even really pay attention to the ads that you see online.
No, I mean, they're there. They do pop up. But for the most part, a lot of them are easy to navigate around. It's like even Snapchat, like their ads, when they pop up, you have the option to just click past it.
Mm-hmm.
Given sometimes they're kind of really terrifying and interesting. So you just watch the whole thing and like, horror, like, what is this?
Yeah.
There's some weird ones. I've came across a few weird ones. And honestly, I didn't even come across that many until the past 2 weeks. I've noticed a major increase, like a 75% increase of the amount of ads I've seen.
Really?
Well, before it was just like maybe one a week or so. And now it's just about every time I'm on there, I see at least one ad.
So, hey, if I wanted to plug something in so that I could play something, how do I do that? Is there a way to do that? Or should I just play it and see how it does? Because there's this thing that I absolutely fallen in love with, and it's just super funny.
What is it? So maybe I'm just going to pull it up on here.
I'm going to try it.
Okay. Just hold it to the mic.
I'm going to hold it to the mic. So we're going to try to play it, see how it does.
So far, not great.
Not great at all.
Whoa.
I have a pen, I have an apple, apple pen, I have a pen, I have pineapple, pineapple pen, apple pen, pineapple pen, pen, pineapple, apple pen.
All right, so this video has taken the internet by storm, and you've got people now doing remakes of this, and it is just one of the funniest things. I don't know why, and I just keep playing it over and over again.
Has a very catchy beat to it.
It does have a really catchy beat. But what's great about it is that, like, you watch the video on YouTube, and it's, you can do a search for it. It's PPAP or Pen Pineapple Apple Pen, and you'll see videos of people doing a remake of it. But it's by a comedian, and but it's just, I don't know. I don't even know why I find it funny, but I just thought I had to share it. So I hope you all enjoyed it. It's something. No?
Yeah. It's definitely
it's
something.
It's definitely something. All right. Well, we're going to just move on from there, because it's just not as fun if you can't actually see it. You know, I mean, you can certainly play it for people, but it, you know, there's nothing like watching it. So please go out and do a Google search for it and find that. Kate.
Yes.
Do you use LinkedIn?
I have a LinkedIn. I have not used it very much recently. I do try to go in and update it on occasion. But
it's LinkedIn is trying to remain relevant, and they were recently purchased by Microsoft for an ungodly amount of money. But they recently revealed a redesign for desktop and some new messaging features, and they've got a new educational product that's coming out, and just trying to figure out if LinkedIn is one of those things that is just like, you know, you use it because you have to, but I get messages from recruiters on a regular basis, but I don't know how effective it is other than just having a profile there. And, you know, you can certainly use it for marketing or posting things that are going on with your company, but I think there are a lot of other platforms that make sense than LinkedIn. And, you know, we've have you ever done any advertising on there?
No, I have used it through social media managing, though, for other companies, but I've never done, like, actual advertising. They just want to keep it active and keep an active profile through
right.
it. So I've dealt with that, but I've never done the actual advertising through LinkedIn.
What do you, you know, when you've used it for managing social media for other people, do you get much out of it? Do you see much return?
It honestly depends on the profile and how many connections the profile has, what groups the profile has, and it honestly depends on the content you are putting out. I have seen some of them where they just get no sort of interaction whatever, and then I've seen some that have a very steady flow of interaction with other people. There's a lot of variables, just like any other form of social media that you use.
Yeah. Does it matter what industry they're in? Is there one particular industry that performs better than another?
Well, to be honest, I've noticed that the real estate industry, for some reason, everything I've ever had to do that involves the real estate on LinkedIn is just, like, it's insanely busy. However, for the most part, LinkedIn is so broad on who can use it. As long as you're spending the time to reach out and make connections with other people, there are groups for everything and people you can connect with that are, you know, relevant.
Right,
so,
that are relevant, which is important.
Which is one of the bright sides, because it's honestly, it's almost easier in that way to utilize LinkedIn than it would be like, say, Facebook, because you can seriously just type in a job on LinkedIn or do the search,
right,
and find job categories, and you can find all these people, these groups. And to me, I do find that part a lot more convenient to use than, say, everything else. That is the huge plus side, is how I see it, of LinkedIn, is that you have those options you can utilize.
Right. No, I agree. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I'm going to go back to Instagram for a moment. You had mentioned, you know, when it comes to ads, that you don't spend a lot of time interacting with them, and a lot of times you'll just skip past. But Instagram reached a milestone. They have 500,000 advertisers now. Yeah, and this is just in 6 months. The number of advertisers have more than doubled, and they are reporting that there have been 1 billion actions taken on Instagram ads. So whether it's a like, a comment, and apparently 75% of Instagrammers take an action after being inspired by a post. So they call it inspired. And yes, there were air quotes that went along with it.
Air quotes.
Right, because I think that's air quotes are certainly necessary. Facebook Messenger. So Facebook Messenger apparently has all of these features that I don't take advantage of. Apparently you can send people money. You can purchase things. And in fact, Facebook just made an announcement today about a new product. Well, they tried to do this a while back where you could purchase things on Facebook. And if you've ever been in one of those, like in groups, have you been in a Facebook group where people are trying to sell like a one-off product? Like, hey, I have a Canon camera for sale for $500. Now you can go and you can purposely sell something on Facebook in the same way that you do if you were into a group. And so it'll be interesting to see how that performs on Facebook. And I think that's all I got to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Forrest Gump says a lot of things.
Forrest Gump does say a lot of things.
Now I kind of want shrimp.
You do some shrimp. Now, well, there are lots of different types of shrimp, though, that they listed. So I turned on the news this morning, and I was, you know, I was looking, thinking that there was – wanted to see what was going on in the world, because there's a hurricane that's coming through, and, you know, there's a presidential election. But the thing that was big time on the news today was the fact that Kim Kardashian was robbed.
I did see that, thanks to, of course, social media.
I mean, it was like in Facebook, right? They have the trending topics, and there are 380,000 people talking about Kim Kardashian and the robbery, and there are only 750,000 people talking about Hurricane Matthew.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. Sadly, that is a common thing that happens. Despite there being serious things and serious issues going on in the world, there's so many people that just, unless it personally affects them, they don't care. However, when it comes to the form of entertainment and, say, stars and all this other stuff, that's something that they're more willing to focus on and spend their time on. So it's not even a surprise to me that that story blew up and everything else was also pushed to the side. Yeah, between that and the presidential debate, those have been about the only things I've heard of recently.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting when you look at, and I don't know if it comes to news is more about entertainment now, and that's just how we do things. But it was certainly interesting how much time was spent talking about it versus, hey, so this thing happened, and then moving on to something else. But that's the nature of the world that we live in today, with the fact that, you know, everyone has a voice on multiple channels, whether it's Facebook or it's Twitter or it's Instagram or it's Snapchat or LinkedIn or the other hundreds of thousands of different social media networks and platforms. You know, whether you want to write a blog post about someone else's blog post as a reply, and even on YouTube, you see that people essentially, like when there's a video, let's say an artist comes out with a new video, you now have reply videos or response video that people put out on YouTube, which I'm still trying to figure out how all of that works, but it could just be because I'm getting old and trying to still figure these things out. But yeah, so you know what, Kate, we're gonna just take a quick break. And then we're going to come back for a little bit and, yeah, see you in a minute.
All righty.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Yes, I do. Welcome back to The Scoop. This is episode 10. I'm Billy Strotter, and it is going to actually be a short show today, which is, I think, okay with Kate. But Kate and I were talking. I think I'm just going to make you officially, like, whatever the people are, co-host. Well, is that what they call it?
Yes. Well, yeah. In all honesty, I am here.
Yes, this is true. Have you heard of the Fort Wayne clowns? Like,
oh my goodness, I started seeing, there was one that popped up, I think, in Clinton Township, too.
What?
It's been a big thing. Well, do you know how it all started?
Does it start with Insane Clown Posse?
No, it does not start with ICP.
Okay. I mean, that wouldn't be
this
a surprise.
This one involves a lot less Faygo soda.
Right, okay.
What it is it was a company, and in order to do some, like, advertising and draw attention to their stuff, they started having, like, creepy clowns dress up and stand around. And they were, like, documenting it, and it started to blow up, and then come to find out it was all, like, this gimmick this company had made. So that one turned out to be legit. But ever since then, it's kind of like sparked people's decision to dress up as a clown and just wander around neighborhoods. I haven't heard anything about anyone being violent. Minus there was this one neighborhood where they had one guy, and, like, he would go on people's houses and, like, smash, like, stuff sitting on their porch.
No.
Other than that, though, I have not. Yeah.
Clowns are creepy as it is.
There's a security video they saw of it. Yeah, that's the one thing that what is a good portion of the population afraid of that's easy to dress up as.
Right.
A clown.
A clown.
So, but ever since that happened and that company used that gimmick, I can't even remember the company's name right now.
And I feel like it started out in the West Coast, right?
I think somewhere like California or something.
I wish I knew.
I think it was like somewhere in California, I think, is where it originated. But ever since then, it's kind of like picked up. People are like, this is a funny prank.
Right, all over the place.
Do this.
Well, so there was a story. Actually, today there were four Northwest Allen schools they had a lockout as a result of clown messages. So Northwest Allen County is, like, that's Fort Wayne area, And apparently there were some inappropriate posts on social media regarding clowns, like that the clowns would be visiting the school. And but it wasn't like there wasn't scheduled or anything. So it turns out that
Stranger danger.
For sure. I mean, like, you know, it's one thing to have random clowns just sitting on a bench or, you know, standing on the edge of the woods, not actually hurting anyone.
But showing up to schools is pushing it a little too far.
And, you know, posting about it on social media is certainly a thing. Well, it turns out that a Fort Wayne man dressed as a clown was shot and is currently in critical condition. So apparently this happened midday yesterday. It was the shooting was reported after 10:30 p.m. And so the Fort Wayne police were called. Apparently he was walking down the street. Car pulled up beside him and he was shot. But I guess the craziness of it all, right? People are afraid of clowns. You're dressed up as a clown and there are threatening messages. There are schools that are being shut down. You would think that you would make a decision, like a conscious decision to not – maybe today I'm not going to dress up as a clown. I'm going to just call it and go around the world as myself today. You would think.
Yeah, see, my only problem is I understand why they're doing it now. It's Halloween. It blew up a while ago. People have probably been like, I'm going to save this prank. My concern, however, is there's always some bad eggs out there that are just going to make the situation worse than it already is. A lot of people are terrified of these clowns, and they're going to be pushing limits to do something that no one else has done with it. And I just feel like it's going to eventually be taken too far to the point where it's not even just slightly creepy or funny anymore. It's just going to be, please stop doing this.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, it's not really that great to be doing it to begin with. Like, there's a time and place for everything. No. Torturing random civilians in the middle of the night is probably not the greatest time to do that.
Not one of the things that you want to do. Yeah, I don't know. It's I am not a fan of clowns. What about Marvel? You a Marvel fan? Do you like comics?
I do.
Do you? See, Netflix has been having problems. They apparently crashed because their new show, Luke Cage. Have you watched that?
No.
Really?
I don't watch a lot of the TV shows.
What?
I just find them very, what's a good term for it, lackluster?
Not even, I mean, so
it's the way TV shows are done is they're always just like written so quick and they're often just throwing in these gimmicks that are unnecessary, not true to the story. And it's just it's so rushed and goes through so quick. They don't get to spend as much time and attention to details.
Even the shows on Netflix, because they feel a little bit different to me. Like they're a little bit different than what you would get on a traditional television network, because you don't have to, you don't have the commercials because you're paying a monthly fee. So you get, you know, a 55-minute show is truly a 55-minute show. It's not 50, you know, it's not 36 minutes with, you know, a bunch of 14 minutes worth of commercials. To me, that's that's well worth paying for. But, we got rid of cable a long time ago. And it's the thing that's frustrating about not having cable, though, is that sometimes you just want to kind of flip through and mindlessly see what's coming on, and you don't get to do that. And then there's still some channels that you can't watch, like Big Ten Network. You have to have a cable subscription to be able to watch
and
that stuff.
For some of them, you have a wait period before you can see some of those. If they're ones that are also streaming to regular TV stations.
This is true.
That is one thing that is kind of, that could be a bit of a downside. However, there are a lot of them that are now offering same time availability, which is pretty good. However, I mean, there's just downsides to each their own. I have checked out their, like, Netflix is some of their original series. I have checked out some of them and everything. the less commercials is definitely a bright side.
Yeah, for sure.
That is 110% the best. However, I feel like it is a little harder to just randomly explore options, like you mentioned, because on TV, you have so many different channels and different shows just cycling through nonstop. It's easy to catch something and realize, hey, I'm interested. If you're on Netflix, you're going to sit there. You're going to read the description.
Sure.
You're going to look through it. You're maybe even going to like look online, see if you know if anyone likes it. And then maybe you'll watch an
maybe
episode
you'll make
or
a decision.
Two.
Right.
And I feel like it takes a little longer to invest yourself with something in Netflix, unless it's something that you previously know you like, and then you go and you binge watch it
yeah.
for weeks straight.
Well, so, or I should mention, because I would be remiss if I didn't mention, like, TLC and Bravo. But, I mean, who really cares about the Big Ten Network? At least that's what Jennifer says. She just sent me a text. She's like, you know, like, these channels. Which is very true. And it took a while to get to that point. But I want to go back to the idea of, you know, superheroes and origin stories. How did you, Kate, how did you end up getting into doing social media management?
Actually, social media has been kind of an important part. I went to Spexar School of Media Arts.
Yay.
And what they do is they do focus on radio. I took the class that focused on radio and television. Well, something they start mentioning to you from the beginning is that social media is a really great aspect to use and take advantage of that can help do promotions, just get the word out of things,
word.
And, you know, help build a following and really entertain your following and help build a connection with them. So I started getting into it then, doing it more and more, and then eventually I started working with the company GoToPro, and that became one of my tasks because it was something I've already had experience. I started doing my own online radio shows and working for some other one and working for a broadcast company that had some that they needed help with the social media too. So it's something I've done for years. But over the past year, working with GoToPro, I've really been able to dive into that and learn more and just find, like, tools and tricks of the trade to really help out. So it's been a learning experience. Some of it you just learn as you go.
Right.
But once you get the hang of it, you know, things are pretty down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because
and just because I don't like Twitter doesn't mean I don't know how to use
no,
it.
No. This is very true, right? You know, I've mentioned several times on the show that I don't use a lot of the platforms anymore, and it's primarily because some of them I just don't enjoy anymore, but they certainly are still effective for managing social media for clients or for business. And, it's really interesting that, for example, Jen has this business called Savvy Kids Consignment. And we have always just kind of looked at it like, how can we drive people and drive awareness using social media? But what's interesting is that we have gone the non-traditional route of, you know, most companies will post every single day or a couple times a day on Facebook, and then they'll post maybe, you know, three or four times, maybe five on Twitter. And what we decided to do was, because it's an event, it's event-based and it's only twice a year, that we would focus on like the 6 weeks leading up to the event. And that's when we would start posting, start reminding people of the event coming up. And it's been really effective for us. But in a way that's so different than what you would do traditionally in the day-to-day sort of engagement. And I think there's certainly a different way in how you would manage event-based social media marketing versus, hey, we're a company that we're looking to have people purchase from us every single day. I got a head nod from Kate, so I think I'm headed down the right path.
It makes sense. It depends what you're trying to promote and get across, the circumstances of it, exactly how you should utilize social media. certain things need to be gone about in a certain way. Some of them are going to perform better on certain social media sites, and different social media sites require different amounts of attention. You have to find that happy medium that's going to bring the most amount of attention to your product or your event or your business, whatever it may be that you're specifically trying to promote. And it just, there's a lot of variables.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. You know, and I guess if I'm going to ask you what your origin story was, I should probably talk a little bit about mine. So funny, maybe it's funny, maybe it isn't. You know, years ago, I was in manufacturing. I was running a company for a tooling manufacturer out of the UK. They made diamond tip cutting tools for machining automotive components. And it was when back when in like the 2007-08 time frame when everything was just kind of going downhill. You must have been like 12 then, Kate, but
probably
yeah. And so the thing that was really interesting during that time was that I was trying to use Twitter as a way to promote an e-commerce store that we had launched for this particular company. And so I ended up meeting a group of people online that were having this thing called Tweety. And it happened once a week, and it was at a place in Royal Oak. And I just wanted to learn as much as I could about social media and how whether or not you could use it for marketing. And so I just went to as many events as I could to just soak it up like a sponge. And then there was this event that was coming up. It was called Each, Two Word Story. It was a bunch of churches in Metro Detroit that were getting together, and they were looking for some help managing social. And I wrote so someone from the church had come to me and approached me and said, "Hey, can you write a social media strategy? Can you assist us in what we're trying to do here?" And I was like, "Sure, I would love to." And then what ended up happening was they came back in when I followed up, and I'm like, "Hey, what did you guys think of the strategy? Is this something that you can use?" They said, "Well, we decided to hire an agency," which was completely out of their hands, but certainly, you know, it hurt, right? It's like you kind of feel like you got kicked a little bit because you put all this work into creating this strategy. And then, but they still asked, "You know what, we'd love for you to be part of it, and we'd love for you to still volunteer and work with the agency that we are going to pay." And I had a really horrible attitude about it. I didn't want to go because I had put all of this time into developing this strategy. And I mean, this is a common thing that I think freelancers struggle with, is that, you know, early on we feel like we need to do a lot of things for free in the hopes that it will eventually lead to something that pays. But the night came that we were having that meeting, and I didn't want to go. I had a horrible attitude about it. And I remember Jennifer coming up to me, and you know, I was telling her how I just didn't want to go to the meeting, and because they had decided that they wanted to pay this agency, and I had done all of this work for free. And she reminded me about the goal of this campaign, which was all of these churches coming together, and that it was not really – I wasn't living a life that I was portraying. Like, if my church came to me and said, "Hey, can you help out?" and then I didn't follow through with that, then I wasn't walking the walk. And so I ended up going because of this conversation with Jennifer, and I ended up meeting my business partner. So Kim Stricker, who is my business partner at Social Coop, we ended up just hitting it off, and we just realized that we thought a lot alike. And one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, we launched Social Coop, and 15 employees later, and a bunch of contractors and clients, and we're here. And that never would have happened had I not had that conversation, and had Jennifer not encouraged me to go. But I think it's an important thing to talk about how we can get caught up in having a sort of a negative attitude and being stuck in that rut, and sometimes all you need to do is just take that step forward to get to where you need to be. But if you are so blinded by the fact that you're not getting what you expected, sometimes you miss out on the bigger things. So that's my origin story. And it's a lot of words, but yeah, that's how it came to be.
Well, that was a lot longer story than mine.
Right.
Yeah, it's everyone has their own start base. You had your own reasons for doing what you did and your own experiences that led you to be where you are today. That's pretty much the same for everyone. So, I mean, we're completely different aspects, and you are way more into the social media industry than I am by all means, but we both still managed to run into the social media managing line just from different ways, different levels.
Yeah, it's certainly been a fun journey, and you know, still trying to figure out what this podcast is going to be. But it's been a pleasure in being able to talk about what I love doing every day, and knowing the sacrifices that were made to get me to this point. And so for everybody that listens, I'm grateful. I know that we have like 3 more people than my mom and dad, which is awesome. So until next time, I'm Billy Strotter, and this is Kate, and we'll see you soon.
This is a previously recorded episode.